It's happened again. Another round of layoffs at the Las Vegas Review-Journal. This time, 22 newsroom staff and employees from the press room were let go. This follows on the elimination of 12 newsroom jobs, including the paper's investigation unit earlier this year. 2 years ago, the Las Vegas Sun also underwent a drastic reduction in its newsroom. Review-Journal publisher Bob Brown told KNPR last week that readers would see absolutely no impact at all. He goes on to say, quote, "We're not losing any story count, we're not cutting pages, we're not cutting any features," unquote. The Las Vegas Sun could not say the same thing. Its staff reduction did change the content of the paper, which now carries much more stories from news services than it did before 2009. So is this just another step in the inevitable decline of the newspaper business, or is it a necessary step to creating the newspaper and websites of the future? Joining us now are Steve Freese, a freelance journalist who has detailed the newsroom layoffs in his blog, Vegas Happens Here. Jeff Simpson, he too is a freelance journalist. Before 2009, he was the business editor at the Las Vegas Sun and executive editor of its sister publication, In Business Las Vegas. And on the phone, Ken Doctor. He is a former editor of the St. Paul Pioneer Press and the executive director at Knight Ridder Digital. He now runs his own company and is the author of Newsonomics, 12 Trends That Will Shape the News You Get. Welcome, gentlemen, all of you, to the program. And for the record, we did invite Review Journal publisher Bob Brown to join us for this morning's discussion. He declined to join us today, but said he would, as previously promised, come back in November when he will have been on the job 12 months, and he will talk about the layoffs then. Steve Freese, we'll start with you. 22 people out this time at the Review Journal, 12 earlier this year. You created a list of the people who were laid off. What struck you about that list, and specifically, what does it mean for the paper as an institution here in Las Vegas?
Most interestingly, what struck me about the list was the number of artistic people on the staff who are gone. Four veteran photographers, really long-term people, people that a lot of people in the community actually know their name. They see those pictures in the paper every day, and they're really beautiful. Also a very well-known graphic artist. And we don't usually talk about these sorts of things because we usually think of newspapers as writers and journalists. But photographers are journalists too, and they're an extremely important part of the newspaper. For them to cut their photo staff that drastically is kind of surprising, and some of the people who they lost. And what was also kind of interesting that I hadn't thought of was when a writer, reporter, loses their job, they can just go right out if they have the wherewithal and try to freelance and sell stories, and there's a whole market there. What I've learned and I didn't realize was that with the advance of digital technology for photography, those cameras are so expensive that the photographers don't own them. So when they leave their jobs, they have no tools. They don't have the $5,000 camera at home to go out and start shooting for somebody else. That's devastating. That's worse in a lot of ways than some of the other layoffs for reporters who can get up and do something else.
Let's talk about what this is going to do for news coverage. How does this limit news coverage in Las Vegas?
Well, I mean, right off the bat, the reporters they did lay off included the city hall reporter and the county government reporter. Those are pretty important jobs, and I'm sure that other people can do them, and certainly other people have done them before. But you usually don't think of a newspaper, when they're going through layoffs, laying off the people in the most critical beats. So I think it's not surprising that the publisher is saying that it won't affect the coverage, that features won't be moved around. But features have already been moved around. We've already seen a number of things, including the elimination of a media column. They got rid of, a couple months ago, Steve Bornfeld was doing a TV criticism column, which I thought was really important to the community. And one day he writes his last column and says, "That's it. I don't have anything else to say. I've written it all," which is a ridiculous way to go out, particularly when you're trying to foster transparency in the media. He moved on because they decided that they didn't have enough people and he needed to do other things.
Well, why don't you believe Review Journal publisher Bob Brown when he says that readers are not going to notice the
changes? I mean, look, readers may or may not notice. I mean, they may or may not be that astute, but the product will change. I mean, there's no doubt that when you reduce that many people, particularly when you have a staff that wasn't that big in the first place. You have to remember, I was at the RJ in the 90s. I worked there for 3 years. I covered the education beat. Back in that day, we had one reporter covering the entire school district, the entire, whatever it was at that time, 8th, 9th, 7th largest school district in the country. Meanwhile, I had a friend at the Grand Rapids Press in Grand Rapids, Michigan. They had a team of education reporters there. We've never had that in Vegas. We've never had swarm coverage of anything more than politics, really, in this town. And that, you know, we didn't have it in the first place. Now we have fewer reporters. It is a problem for the community.
All right, so we go back to what you just said. If the reader will or will not notice some of those changes, I mean, what kind of change do you think they will see? What's going to jump out at them?
I'm sure they will be taking more wire copy. They have to be taking more from the services. They already occasionally will take an Associated Press story on a local topic for the front page, which is just at one time unheard of. You would always go out and get your own version of a local story. It was an embarrassment to use wire copy on a story of local significance, and they do it all the time now.
Do you think, though, that the reader sees that, points that out? I mean, you're a professional. You have a different take on it. Do you think the reader says,
no,
that's Associated Press material? That's not a local writer.
No, I don't think they see it or I don't think they take note of it, but it doesn't mean that they are still getting the same product.
Jeff Simpson, let me come to you. You're a freelance journalist. Again, you were with the Las Vegas Sun as the business editor. What did the Las Vegas Sun lose after that round of cuts back in 2009?
Well, the Sun lost the same thing that the RJ is going to lose here, except maybe even more. The Sun layoff was even bigger. But I think that the biggest element is the loss of experience. And so when Bob Brown says that the RJ readers won't notice a difference, I think he's selling short the expertise that those experienced people brought to bear, and also selling short the readers and their ability to perceive what those folks are doing. And, you know, there are certainly concrete examples. When you look at some of the people that the Sun laid off were immediately hired by the Review Journal. I believe that they've all been kept through this round of layoffs. The Sun layoffs were, you know, certainly they're all business or economy connected. In this case, the RJ made a business decision, but there's just no way a staff as small as the RJ already was can cut that many people and not affect what the reader will see. I mean, certainly Steve is right. They will put wire copy in there. They'll take, you know, younger or less experienced reporters who haven't covered beats before, and put them on those beats.
But when you talk about those younger reporters, okay, so you get rid of the veterans. Obviously, they have a long list of contacts and sources, and they've covered the beat. They know the ins and outs. But isn't this a chance also for some of these young writers to gain that experience? They are going to become the veteran writers of the future.
Absolutely, and that's it's not always a negative. I mean, a veteran reporter could be stale in the job. They may not, you know, maybe some of the people that were laid off weren't as good as some of the people who will take their place. So it is not a guaranteed, you know, negative. But I think in general, and when I look at the list of the people who were laid off here, certainly at the Sun, a lot of experience, a lot of expertise, people that I think, you know, no one in journalism would question the ability of those people have been laid off. And, you know, a lot of that just comes down to dollars and cents. Reporters who have been around for a long time make more money, and it pays to replace somebody making, you know, 60 or 70,000 with someone making 30 or 40,000.
All right, Steve Freese, let me come back to you. This idea, again, you're getting rid of the expert reporters, the ones who've been around a long time. Yeah, they also cost more. But at some point, you do have to pass the mantle on to somebody else. You got to get the younger reporters to move up into those positions, right?
Well, and what worries me is actually the fact that there's no evidence that they're doing that. They had that round of layoffs a few months ago where they got rid of their quote-unquote investigative unit. But a lot of those people who are in that investigative unit were the old-timers who weren't producing very much and really weren't pulling their weight. So when they did that, I didn't really react very strongly to it because, to my mind, I thought, well, for one of those people, they could probably hire three young people out of journalism school and set them loose to set the world on fire around here. But they didn't. They're not hiring anybody. They're not replacing people. They're just getting rid. And the problem is that they keep on thinking that they can cut the quality of their product and people will still want to buy it. And they think that there's some sort of a ratio there where, this is not a new story. I read the book by James O'Shea. He was the former editor of the LA Times about how the Tribune Company systematically over the course of 20 years kept on forcing cuts and cuts and cuts until their newspapers weren't any good anymore. And then they're surprised when nobody buys them.
All right, do you see a potential journalistic brain drain in Las Vegas as we see these layoffs in conjunction with seeing veteran reporters like Molly Ball, Emily Richmond, and you heading off and doing other things? Will the voids left by these veteran journalists ever be filled?
Well, I mean, I think they're two different questions because Las Vegas has actually always been a really good place for young journalists to spend a few years, get their legs, and then go off and do. There are a lot of journalists in this country who have come through the Review Journal and the Sun and gone on to wonderful and the Associated Press in Las Vegas and gone on to amazing careers. So I don't think that's necessarily a problem. These reporters, these photographers, the problem here is that there really isn't that many places for them to go anyway. The newspaper business in this country is in such a state that pretty much any city you look at, there are journalists who are laid off with nothing to do.
All right, let me turn over to Ken Doctor. Again, he's the author of Newsonomics, 12 Trends That Will Shape the News You Get. Ken Doctor, we tend to think of the changing business of newspapers as a bad thing, but how much is this changing of the media landscape an opportunity for new ideas, new blood, and new kinds of community service?
Oh, it is definitely that. And we are seeing incredible innovation happening at all kinds of levels, local levels and national levels, all kinds of new investigative reporting outfits. But it's a very ungainly transition. And clearly, this is a loss where you talk about the kind of reporting loss that you're talking about in Las Vegas. We've seen that across the country. We've seen about 12,000 journalists from daily newspapers out of work in the last 5 years. So it is a good idea, as we've been talking about, to have younger journalists, fresh eyes, fresh energy. Oftentimes they know how to do things in terms of video storytelling, audio storytelling, up to the minute blogs, that kind of thing. But what is lost in the experience are all the stories that are not written that readers never know about. This is the problem as we try to put our finger on what's lost.
So what do you
look at the traditional role of a daily newspaper, it does so many things, in news, education, and sports, entertainment, but the traditional role as a check on local power, that is where newspapers come from, government power, more lately business power, and you need experienced people who know the lay of the land. So the way it would best work out, if this were not forced by the economic realities of the day, is that you do have a steady stream of younger people coming through. You hire the best people you can hire, and they are partly trained by those older people on where the power is in the community.
Okay, well, Ken Doctor, what about this? What do you make of the situation at the Review Journal? Given what you've heard, can Las Vegas have vibrant and meaningful coverage with a paper whose newsroom has been gutted, and now you've got these young reporters who don't have that experience?
It will clearly have less of that coverage, and it will be hard to quantify, but it has already had less of that coverage from the earlier cuts. It will have even less, and we're seeing that all across the country.
And you mentioned that there are thousands of journalists out there that are out of work. What are they doing? How are they, reimagining themselves? What are the opportunities for people who've spent a lifetime in journalism?
There aren't many. They do tend to be mid-career, so they're in their 40s and their 50s. There are some journalistic companies, really new ones starting up, but they are more national in the Bay Area. Where I live here, there is Bay Citizen in San Francisco that has hired two or three dozen people. But they are tending to hire the cream of the crop, and they're tending to hire younger as well. I think of the situation, the personal situation of mid-career journalists, kind of like the loggers that I used to cover in Oregon 20 years ago as that resource economy changed. Or you look at steel workers or automobile workers. These are mid-career workers who had good middle-class jobs, and those jobs have been changed by economic restructuring. And so some of them are blogging. Some of them have gone into PR or advertising.
Yeah,
and many are looking for work.
And are those the options? I mean, what would you counsel them to do? What other options do they have?
Well, it depends on their skills, of course. But what they need to do for journalism jobs these days is they need to master the new digital tools. So blogging is not very different than column writing or any other kind of writing. It just means more direct writing that doesn't go through a, you know, established newsroom process. Some mid-career journalists were afraid of the whole term blogging, made fun of it. Yet if you can blog, people are more likely to want to hire you. The problem is, of course, the wages are much lower. Same thing with audio storytelling. I mean, you know, in the radio business, audio storytelling is not a mystery. But for print people, they think of themselves as writing words. The ability to do both is what's going to make them more hireable.
We're talking about the recent layoff at the Review Journal. 22 folks let go. What does this mean for news coverage? Again, we heard from the editors that this is not going to change anything, but will you notice any difference in the type of coverage and the type of value that the newspapers will provide you after something like this? Also, we're asking if you are one of those folks who was let go by the RJ, if you'd like to come on and share your thoughts about what's happened or share your story about what happened last week when you were laid off. If you'd like to stay anonymous, that's fine as well, but we'd like to hear your thoughts of that. What are the opportunities for you now? What are you thinking about? What's next in your life and your career? We heard from Ken Doctor, what happens to a lot of journalists who've been doing this for 10, 15, 20 years? What are your options after this? 258-3552, that's 258-3552, or go online, knprtalk.org, and post your comments or questions there. Ken Doctor, I want to come back to you. Are you worried about the lack of reporters and also considering blogs and aggregation sites like Huffington Post, for example, using traditional newspaper sites as their sources, that they don't do much reporting on their own, that this may have a negative effect on papers?
It is having a negative effect right now. And I think it is a very mixed view of what's going on. So you have sites like Huffington Post, which is now bought by AOL, which is in fact now doing more original reporting. So this whole question of, you know, what we call aggregation, you know, basically rounding up the stories that somebody else does, that's now a fixture of how digital journalism is going to work. That's going to be part of what a lot of sites do, including local sites. So a lot of local sites, regional sites, are rounding up local bloggers and either paying them something, usually something small, or bringing them into a network where they drive traffic to their sites. So it's a combination of that aggregation plus original reporting. And so we see the problem is in that short term that there is less original reporting going on. That may come back as we find more of a economic basis for journalism, and the tablet, which I've been writing about a lot, may be the foundation for that. We're seeing the kind of print-like reading times and really good advertising experiences on the tablet. And there'll be 50 million of them out there in the U.S. By the end of next year. But right now, there's simply not the economics to run a profitable newspaper company and employ the number of journalists who are working in American journalism.
Steve Reese.
Well, you know, one of the things about that comment in general that bothers me a little bit is particularly in Las Vegas, but I think the media in general. As I said, I read the book on the Tribune Company. I've seen what the New York Times has done to survive all of this. One of the things that we forget is that newspapers had periods of unbelievable profits. And during that time, very few publishers ever planned for it ever ending. And it was very similar to the boom in Vegas in a lot of ways. The Las Vegas Review-Journal was carried along for the longest time on amazing profits from advertising and all of the influx that was going on. But in the last 10 years, while this city has grown by a million people, the circulation of that paper has dropped. You had the biggest population boom in American history, or one of them at least, and that paper did not add any subscribers because they hardly even bothered to try, because they didn't need to, because they were making all this money. So there were a lot of reasons why they could have been prepared for downtimes and maybe not suffer like this. And they didn't do it.
Yeah, but at the same time, though, it's not just the economy. It's, as we were talking about, you have a lot more bloggers now.
Sure.
And some of these other websites. And advertising was a lot of the money newspapers were making. But that's stuff that you can do online now, and a lot of it for
that's
cheap
true.
Or free.
Sure.
So do you think
true.
It's going to come back?
No.
Do you think newspapers will come back? You'll have that profitability?
You know, there was a documentary recently come out called Page One. It was about the New York Times, and it was looking at how the New York Times has survived all of this. And one of the comments in that movie that kind of got me was, perhaps the actual printed newspaper will become a thing of luxury. It'll be a thing that will cost a bit more, and the people who have it will sort of feel like it's a status symbol. And the people who will – the circulations will be smaller, but the people who will buy it will be more affluent, and so the advertisers will be more interested in them. And the rest of us will get our news online if we want it. That's a theory out there. You know, it drives me nuts when people say that the Sunday RJ is $3 and that's too much money for them, but then they'll spend as much money on bottled water or coffee as they do on gasoline. I mean, the perspective is bizarre. $3 for a Sunday newspaper under any circumstance is an amazing deal given all of the things that go into creating it and bringing it to your doorstep.
All right. Again, we're talking about the recent layoffs at the Review-Journal, and what will that mean for news coverage? Where do you get your local news coverage, by the way? Are you concerned that the RJ has laid off veteran county and city reporters? Do we need the RJ to have a full newsroom? Do you notice whether it's a local reporter or if it's wire copy? And where are you getting your news these days? Are you just one of these online consumers? The newspapers are dead. You don't want to get that again? Let us know your thoughts. And again, if you are one of those folks from the RJ that was laid off and you would like to share your story or your thoughts, we'd also like to hear from you as well. 258-3552. That's 258-3552. Or go online, knprtalk.org. Again, where do you get your news these days? And do you even know when it's local or when it's wire copy that's national, something that was pulled off, as they say, the wire? Steve Freese, you've been harshly critical of the previous administration of publisher Sherm Frederick and Thomas Mitchell. Why blame them?
Well, I feel like they didn't pivot very well into the new media, you know, and it's not like it was not obvious that this was where it was going. You know, Tom Mitchell was they were both very good old school journalists. I worked for both of them, and there were times when I worked for them that they had to defend my work, and they sure did, and that continued to be the case for the next 10 years as they were on their jobs. But Tom Mitchell also was extremely hostile to the idea of blogging. The Sherm Frederick seemed to think that the website was fine. They had an online person in there who was just sort of figuring out things that were common.
But wasn't this typical of newspapers that they just the new media? It took them time to catch on.
You know what? I don't know, because by the time we're talking about, some of the biggest newspapers in this country had really caught on, and some of the smaller papers were leading it. Some of the smaller papers, which were more nimble and did have younger people in their jobs, were getting caught up a lot faster. You know, the Las Vegas Sun, for example, a much smaller publication, had a lot of young people in there who knew how to tweet and blog and design a website that is functional. You know, one of the things that drove me nuts was they they started this daily RJTV segment where Nate Tannenbaum, former weatherman, would come on and give like a 2 or 3 minute capsule of what was coming up. Well, the only place you could see that was on the RJ's website. So you're already there. That's the only place. You weren't able to embed it on your blog or send it to a friend, or there was nothing you could do with it. And the whole idea of it, I thought, was to tell people what's in the newspaper so they would want to come to the website. And these aren't new things. It's not new to know how to embed a piece of video on another site.
Jeff Simpson, let me come over to you. Was the Las Vegas Sun ahead of the curve on this one?
Well, they were definitely ahead of the Review Journal. I don't know about ahead of the curve nationally, but they made the publisher and editor, Brian Greenspun, made a decision back in 2005 and 2006 that he was going to invest in LasVegasSun.com and hired a lot of people to work on the online site. So the Sun has been, you know, I mean, it's definitely ahead of the RJ. They received tons of awards. I'm not sure whether they are in the black, because I think that, you know, they do have a lot of people working there, and you know, typically it's tough for online publications to make the money back that they invest when they invest as heavily as they did.
And I think
that's why Sherm Frederick and Tom Mitchell were so slow. They were hesitant to invest in the side of the business when they didn't think they could get their money back. They certainly, Frederick has been very bottom line oriented. I think Brian Greenspun, at least before the market cratered, was someone who wanted to be ahead of the curve. He prides himself
But Jeff Simpson, it has the Sun been able to monetize from its online presence?
As far as I know, they have not. By the time I left at the end of 2009, they had not. Now, they are doing some things lately that may be more fruitful in terms of monetizing, but my hunch would be that they are not making as much as they're spending.
Okay, well, Jeff Simpson, does that mean then the people at the RJ were right for hesitating a little bit? Because a lot of people are not making, a lot of newspapers haven't figured out how to make money on the web yet.
No, I don't think that they were right. I think that, you know, you have to be willing to, you know, advance with the times. The profit margins on the print side of the RJ for so long were so great that they could have afforded a loss on the website.
All right, let me turn over to Ken Doctor. Is this the case, newspapers? Have they figured out how to make their web presence profitable?
It is profitable. For the country as a whole, they're making about $3 billion in digital revenue. The big transition they are in front of today is that we see a lot of papers doing what the New York Times is doing, which is starting to charge for digital access. So you look at the rudiments of the newspaper business. It's advertising money and it's circulation money. We all knew that for, you know, decades. Essentially, that's what they're doing today. And they're saying, if you are a reader online and if you read for the Times more than 20 pages a month, you're going to have to pay us just like you pay us for the newspaper.
I have to stop you there because of time. I do apologize about that. Jeff Simpson, freelance journalist. He was a business editor at the Las Vegas Sun. He also previously reported on gaming for the Las Vegas Review Journal. Ken Doctor is the author of the book Newsonomics, 12 Trends That Will Shape the News You Get. And Steve Freese, freelance journalist. The blog's at VegasHappensHere.com. I want to thank you all so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. Our producers are Lee Hernandez and Irene Noguchi. Ian Milchrist is our senior producer, Rich Copeland, our technical director, and Adam Burke is our news director. I'm Luis Hernandez. For more on this and other editions of KNPR State of Nevada, visit our website, knpr.org.